This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by the Education and Outreach Team for the Messenger Mission to Planet Mercury. Follow the mission as the spacecraft helps to unlock the secrets of the inner solar system at www.messenger-education.org.
You are about to listen to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
What do they talk about?
Astronomy, you know, stuff that's far away.
How far?
Well,
this stuff is far.
It's really far.
This stuff is far, far, far away. We're talking far.
Like uber far.
You can't get there by car today. It's super duper crazy far. But not just pulsars, quasars, and stars. We mean it's far.
Far, far,
far, far. If there's some doubt, listen to a shout.
This stuff is far.
The IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast starts now.
Welcome to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, host of the AAAS radio show and podcast Science Update. It is steamy here in the Washington area. We've got triple-digit heat, but not at Jack Urkel's office at the Applied Physics Lab in Laurel, Maryland. There, it's freezing. Despite his attempts to correct the problem, cold air pours out of his ceiling vent so fiercely and noisily that we have to conduct our interview in a nearby conference room. Which is a strange irony, since Dr. Urkel's specialty is controlling thermal conditions on spacecraft operating in some of the solar system's harshest environments, from the inferno of the planet Mercury to the icebox that is Pluto. Messenger is a spacecraft now en route to Mercury, slated to go into orbit in March of 2011. Messenger passes less than 50 million kilometers from the Sun, just a third of the distance the Sun is from the Earth. Near Mercury, the Sun appears 11 times brighter than it does from Earth, and Messenger is exposed to temperatures hot enough to melt lead. Dr. Urkel says he began work on Messenger's thermal design in the mid-90s, when the idea of a mission was first proposed. He explains that it was planned as a Discovery-class mission, which specifies both cost and development timeline.
And of course, some of the major challenges are, you know, the mass of the spacecraft and propulsion, because in order to meet a Discovery type mission, you're stuck with the type of launch vehicle that was available, and then you can't really just overload it with a thermal design. So the thermal design had to fit well within or dovetail well within that requirement.
He set about designing a passive solar shade to protect the delicate instruments that would ride in the bus or spacecraft cavity. Even this close to the Sun, a simple shade is all that it takes to keep everything behind it icy cold. Urkel mounted the shade on fixed arms.
It's bigger than the craft itself, so that you get an extended area, so you don't have to keep it directly pointed at the Sun all the time. You can tilt it plus or minus, I think it's like 15 degrees, so you basically can move it left and right and up and down, so that's why the shade's bigger, so it protects the spacecraft over some variable angle displacement.
But while everything behind the shade stays cool, you have to keep the shade itself from melting. Urkel selected a ceramic fabric from 3M that can easily withstand the high temperatures and treated it with an aluminum coating that made it completely opaque. The next trick involved several spacecraft parts that couldn't hide behind the shade. They needed to see the Sun to do their job. These included the Digital Solar Attitude Detectors, or DSADs. They pinpoint the location of the Sun so Messenger can make sure it keeps the sunshade pointed at it. Urkel found detectors that could do the job, but they were meant to operate on Earth, not in the much brighter environment near Mercury, so he modified them with filters.
When the Sun sensor is looking at the Sun at our closest approach, or closest our perihelion distance, which is about 0.3 AU, the Sun is 11 times brighter there than it would be at Earth. So what this filter does is it takes that 11 suns and makes it look like one sun at the sensor head.
Of particular concern were the solar panels. They need to see the Sun to generate electricity, but too much sun will fry them. The solution designed for Messenger consisted of arrays that could rotate toward and away from the Sun to achieve an optimum angle.
Solar arrays were a very specialized thermal design because they have to survive through a full range of sun angles and solar distances.
Still, when Messenger is closest to the Sun, the difference between high performance and failure is very slight, and the angle of the arrays and the position of the entire spacecraft have to be tightly monitored. Now, if all Messenger had to do was cruise near the Sun, that would be all that was needed. But once it goes into orbit, Urkel says the requirements change.
So you get these large heat spikes which last, you know, tens of minutes, and then they disappear.
Huh, and why is that?
Because the orbit takes you away from the planet. You move away from the point where it gets hot.
Okay, so the planet's surface itself is variable enough.
Right. Over certain portions of the planet, you get extremely hot, and over certain portions of the planet, due to the angle and the distance, it's very cold or very benign.
Withstanding these spikes was built into the design parameters for each instrument once Urkel provided the teams with the information they'd need.
I calculated all the thermal environments for both the cruise phase, which we're in right now, and the orbiting phase. And then there were instrument teams that actually had thermal engineers who took that information and used that to design the instruments.
So far, MESSENGER's completed three successful flybys of Mercury in preparation of orbital insertion in March. On the other end of the spectrum, Urkel also worked on the thermal design for New Horizon, a mission to the outer reaches of the solar system. While you might imagine that temperatures below minus 200 Celsius would present a major problem, Urkel says that when it comes to spacecraft, no heat is no problem.
Thermally, it's in a very benign environment. There's no real sun environment to speak of, and because we're not close to any planets, there's no real planetary environments to speak of, so it's very quiescent.
The craft has a radioisotope thermoelectric generator, or RTG, that provides all the heat and electricity it needs. In fact, Urkel says the only difficulty with New Horizon was protecting it right after launch, when he had to deal with a solar environment plus heat dissipation from the craft itself.
Once we started to get away from the Earth and point the high gain back towards the Earth, which actually creates sort of a mini sun shield. When the antenna was pointed at the Earth, it shades the bus from direct solar, so that helped to keep things pretty cool. And then after we got past, I guess, a Mars-type orbit, Mars-type solar distance, temperatures have been pretty flat for probably 3 or 4 years now.
Well, while New Horizon may have given Urkel a breather, it won't last, because now he's preparing for his biggest challenge yet, the Solar Probe Plus mission. The goal is to send a spacecraft to within about 6 million kilometers of the sun. Remember that Mercury itself gets no closer than 46 million kilometers.
So we're trying to leverage some of our knowledge from the MESSENGER mission, because we did a high-temperature solar array development for MESSENGER, and we're trying to use, once again, what we've learned from the MESSENGER mission to transfer over to the Solar Probe mission.
But the conditions that Solar Probe Plus will face are many times more formidable, especially the cooling requirements for the arrays, which will require an active rather than a passive solution.
MESSENGER's worst case is about 300 C, 350 C. Solar Probe's worst case is more like 1400 C. So that's the difference. So you've moved through a band of technology. The MESSENGER scenario will not work here.
That's why Urkel is looking at a liquid cooling system,
which is basically a water loop system that takes heat away from the solar rays and pulls it to a radiator system that is remote and then dissipates that heat.
That's right. Pretty much the same way your car keeps cool. And remarkably, he chose water as the coolant over a variety of other liquids they considered.
We did a complete study on what potential for working fluids, and some of them work good hot but don't work good cold. Some of them work good cold but not good hot. So you're trading problems. And the water system is probably the most stable for the time frame that we're looking at. And there's no real contamination issues with the water. And it has very good heat transfer characteristics, very good heat capacity, and so forth.
Solar Probe Plus is still in its early design phase. It's not scheduled for launch until 2015. But the challenge is so formidable that his work is already well underway.
It has its challenges. We've built piece parts, and so far everything is working out. But it's a challenge, but it's a good challenge.
For the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, I'm Bob Hirshon.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Cool.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.